Greetings, cocktail aficionados, and welcome to another episode of the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave, your announcer, MC, master of ceremonies.
You're gonna taskmaster. You're gonna drink too, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, then you're in it.
Yeah. I'm here. Just, I'm here for the
in it to win it.
In it to win it. And of course, joining me the our celebrity judges, Jason and Fred.
And, are we celebrity judges? Have we been upgraded?
Maybe just resident panel judges. Oh, what we call those. We'll downgrade your celebrity status until this thing really takes off.
I do like to judge. Oh, I don't like that shirt, by the way.
No, I know. Yeah, I know.
That tie is a little bit overpowering.
Yeah. George Harrison said the same thing. Didn't like our tie.
Actually, this tie is a Beatles tie.
Oh, isn't that nice?
That is my Good Day Sunshine tie.
Oh, that's nice.
Should that be on the Instagram?
Oh, I think I might have to put that on the Instagram account. Yeah, let's get the member folks. Visit us on Instagram. It's our account is Cocktail Podcast. And,
you can see the Good Day Sunshine tie.
Yeah.
Officially licensed by the Beatles.
By the Beatles.
Yep. Thank you, Beatles.
Making Ringo and Paul just a little bit richer. Yep.
One tie at a time.
One tie at a time.
In fact, I think Fred picked this tie up.
Wow.
Off the sidewalk, maybe.
Yeah.
No, did I?
I think so.
Then I'm a wonderful human being.
I think you got one from Tom as well. Now we're just dropping names.
We're dropping names. Yeah. People, you don't even know who Tom is.
Oh, so. They will.
Tom Saunders, he'll be here. Because we desperately need a theme song.
Yeah, and he's a musician, so we've somehow got to get him drunk and get him writing some songs.
Yeah, or dare him. Maybe we can just dare him to write a song.
Maybe. Stay tuned, folks.
Are we going to do anything about cocktails tonight? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the
aim. It should be, because we are gentlemen of elegant leisure.
Of course.
I'm so leisurely, I don't even know. I've got the energy.
Well, tonight's theme...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. I think you gave me the wrong cue line.
Did I?
No, I think you gave me the right cue line. I jumped ahead in the script.
There's a script?
Amateurs. You see what I have to work with, people?
We're making two wonderful cocktails tonight.
True.
We're going to make the Aviation, classic cocktail from yesteryear. Do we have a date? Anybody have a date on the...
1920-something.
1920-something.
The Roaring Twenties, anyways.
It was after air travel, because prior to that...
Yeah, prior to that, I don't think...
Yeah, it didn't mean anything.
It wasn't named after the Wright brothers or anything.
The 1850s,
like that.
The Aviation cocktail had no meaning.
No. It was called a balloon cocktail. It was just champagne. Yeah, so the Aviation cocktail, out of the wonderful Vintage Spirits and Forgotten Cocktails book by Dr. Cocktail himself. And so we'll do that. And then we're going to try one... with similar ingredients, and that's going to be the Jennifer Daisy. Mm-hmm. And this one has been adapted by a bartender named Alex Smith at Whitechapel in San Francisco.
Yeah, it looks like quite the place. I checked out their website. I think I'd like to go there.
Oh, yeah. No, I would love to go there.
They're gin crazy down there at Whitechapel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, have you seen pictures of Whitechapel yet, Fred?
There's pictures?
There are pictures. Actually, there's a picture right in that very magazine that you're holding in your hand.
Imbibe. Thank you to the good people in Imbibe for making us buy their magazine.
Yes. No, it looks like an amazing place.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And drinking in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. It's drinking town.
It's drinking town.
Place to be.
All right, well.
So we've got two drinks, and what they have in common is...
Gin.
And?
Maraschino liqueur.
I don't think you're saying it right.
You don't think I'm saying it right?
I'm pretty sure it's maraschino. Liqueur.
No, I think we've all been led to believe it's maraschino because nobody in North America knows how to speak Italian.
Could be.
I don't know. I don't understand.
It's like the whole Chianti. You know, you wouldn't say it was Chianti, or would you?
I might.
Well, if you only can get maraschino liqueur where you live, by all means get that. But if you can invest in the Luxardo maraschino, you're going to be much more happier.
But they're spelled the same.
They are spelled the same. It goes back. You know, here's one of my beefs. You go, have we got time for one of my beefs?
Oh yeah, always time for beef.
I don't know if you're ever talking to anybody about France and maybe traveling in France. And if you make the mistake, which you only make once because people jump all over you, is you say, and there's a place in France called Nice. And someone will say, I believe that's pronounced Nice. And then I say, well, I don't believe they call it Paris. I think it's pronounced Paris. Mm-hmm. I don't believe the people of Moscow call Moscow Moscow.
No, they don't.
They call it like Moskva or something like that. Exactly. So the least you can do is call the place by what it is.
Right.
Right? So Rome, they call it Roma.
Mm-hmm. So what are you supposed to call Nice?
Call it Nice.
All right.
Just to piss people off.
Just to piss people off.
Oh, okay.
Or you got to call it, you can't just blanket the world with your Paris's and your Rome's. Florence.
Yeah.
I think the Italians call it Firenze.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Well, it doesn't even match.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
I'm not going anywhere.
And that concludes Jason's beef.
It wasn't the, remember when Jay Leno used to do that on Letterman?
Yeah, it was beefs.
Yeah. What's my beef?
Evil twins. That was one of his big beefs, was TV shows that had evil twins on.
TV shows with evil twins. I don't know about these things.
Ah. If I had a twin, he'd be evil.
Yeah.
So. You do have a twin that's evil.
Oh, well, that's true. Shh. Quiet. So what are we making first, Jace?
We're going to make the aviation, and then we're going to try an aviation variation.
Oh. I like the way you're a bit of a wordsmith tonight.
What's that going to be called?
The aviation variation.
Oh, okay.
Because they often wondered why the drink was called the aviation, because it's not blue.
Mm-hmm.
But in another wonderful book by Jason Wilson called Booze Hound, in an older drink book, they found that there was a little bit of creme de violette thrown in there, and that's supposed to color it a little bit blue. So we might throw a little bit of violette in there just to see if it goes blue.
You mean creme de violet?
Yeah, cream de violet. Give me your violet cream.
All right.
Only North American pronunciations tonight.
Yes.
Violet cream, violent femmes.
Maybe they could do a song for us.
Yes, they should.
Okay, so.
And we're going to use some Gordon's gin here.
London Dry instead of the... Oh, this is the aviation, so it takes a London Dry gin.
Yes.
As opposed to the Holland gin. Or the Jennifer.
Exactly. Did you do a bit of research there, Freddie, to find out the difference between London Dry Gin and non-London Dry Gin?
Well, the rules are kind of flexible. But the one thing that I did find is that the Dutch gins tend to be pot distilled, whereas the London gins are column distilled.
Oh.
And so the London gins are a little bit more highly distilled and so don't have as much of the... earthiness of the Dutch gins.
Right.
And these would both fall under the category of a sour?
Would they?
Well, according to Jerry Thomas, I think he described it, it was in the book Imbibe by the wonderful...
Oh, we can't David. Say enough about David Wendrich's book Imbibe.
Basically, spirits, sugar, water, lemon, and ice, and perhaps mix and match a little bit, but that's the basic summary of a... Of a sour.
And we've done a lot of gin and lemon juice ones. I mean, maybe we're getting in a bit of a rut, but we certainly like our drinks, so.
We love our gin.
So this has 2.5 ounces of gin, 3/4 ounce of fresh lemon juice, and 2 or 3 dashes of maraschino/maraschino liqueur. We're going to shake this up, strain it into a cocktail glass, and see what we think about the aviation.
Cover your ears, everybody.
We strain it into 3 cocktail glasses. I think that's... The main reason I'm here.
Yep.
There we go. So you know that it's being done live, folks.
Oh, yeah. This is not... Right. We don't have Foley artists working in the background here, throwing in sound effects.
Oh, we should.
Mm.
So this is just a white, frothy...
Frothy...
thing here.
Yes.
Very lemon juice.
Vaguely yellow.
Mm-hmm.
From our friend the lemon. Maraschino, of course, is clear. The gin is clear. Mm-hmm. The lemon is the only thing that can give it any color, which I guess is why perhaps when we add the creme de violette, we'll get a...
So have a couple of sips, and then we're going to drop some creme de violette in and see what happens?
Yeah, that's what I figured we would do.
Okay.
And then we'll describe that to the ladies and gentlemen at home.
Sure.
Who should be making this along with us.
There's ladies and gentlemen? So there's the two people?
Yeah.
So far
there's
we've two.
We've got two.
All right. And there we go.
All right.
Sorry for the long pour, everybody.
Well, hold on. Just before we sip, I must... let's get a lovely little photo of it. So people make people envious on Instagram.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and they can see the before and after.
Yeah.
All right. The Aviation. Hello, 1926.
Yeah, it's got a nice... it's not just lemon on the
nose. No, see, that's that maraschino liqueur's flavor.
Whoa. Lemon's sure there in the taste, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. The maraschino just has a...
I can feel it almost coming up my sinuses. Almost. You get that kind of strength to it.
You might have done it wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very sour, though. Not a lot of sweet to this.
Yeah, this is a tart friend.
Yeah.
It's always good to have a friend who's a tart. You're looking for a...
Makes every party that much better.
Looking for a grad date?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm sorry, I didn't research what the flavor profile actually is of the maraschino to say what it's going to give us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it is. It's a drying thing. It's a... I think, unless it's the lemon that's giving us that...
32% alcohol.
I think it's all lemon.
In the maraschino?
Oh, no, the flavor. I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot.
Okay, now you're
what you got there, buddy?
I got a little bit of creme de violette here. Let's see if it's...
So what's the proportion when you add that?
Well, it said in Booze Hound there, just... let's find out.
Just a splash?
Just a splash. I think it said just a splash. I don't even think I'm going to do a complete splash. Let's see. Let's add a little bit here to Furious Freddy. That's not blue. And over here.
Not yet.
But...
We have a spoon. Let's give that a little twirl.
Ooh. Give that a mix.
Oh! It's kind of a purpley color.
Yes. Hmm. Well, we could... pass that off as a sunset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's
maybe it depends on your creme de violette.
Yeah, I guess
it would. I mean, this is certainly. I didn't know understand how anything that was violet would turn anything blue anyway. If it was mixed with yellow, it was gonna. I was afraid it was gonna go green.
Well, here we go.
Does it change the scent there at all?
A little bit. Not too much. Pretty. Pretty subtle difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not much.
No. But it does change it makes the drink visually different, so.
And so the creme de violette, same name, older recipe. Is that the idea?
That's what the theory is, yes. Mm-hmm. That back when they made it before 1926, in the unpublished.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is actually Creme Yvette that I've used here, right? Which says it's a world-renowned reputation of excellence in the preparation of the Blue Moon, the Stratosphere, the Aviation, and the Pousse Café. And it's certainly it almost looks like the color of the Sloe Gin.
Yeah.
And so that's why I didn't see how this was going to turn it blue. I thought that it was maybe going to be some amazing, amazing thing. Perhaps I shouldn't have used the Creme Yvette. Maybe there's something that's even bluer. Blue Curacao.
There you go.
Which would be nice in there, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It probably something. Nice. It's called something else.
Right.
But yeah, so this it's from the maraschino liqueur is made from the Marasca cherry, but it's sour as well.
Okay.
So, grown in all places, Croatia.
Really?
Only, very small amounts when it was grown, and only aristocrats and the royalty of Italy and France could afford it. And poor people went without. They had to settle for your, other cherry varieties.
That's right. Just a regular old stone fruit cherries. Oh, okay. And then obviously it's distilled because it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's certainly interesting. And it's going to be featured in this other one here, also with our new friend Orzat, which is going to just delight us to no end.
And what is Orzat again? What's involved in Orzat? What do you?
It's like
ingredient?
An almond.
It's an almond, right?
Syrup. And this is a little one I bought. It's from a company called Social Syrup.
Oh.
And which is quite good. Prior to that, I had the Trader Vic's version. It doesn't say where it's made. It's just a product of the good old USA. And on the side it says Toronto, Ontario, Canada, socialsyrup.com. So check them out for their products and see what other things they have.
And what I used to call Orgyat.
Yes.
Yeah. Again, with the weird pronunciations here going on.
Nobody's going to find Orzat. They're going to they'll end up with Ouzo. Mm-hmm. Well, or Ouzo.
We can't be catering to every mumbler in the crowd.
Anyway, Orzat, spelled O-R-G-E-A-T, for those of you who... you know, like your spelling straightforward and simple.
Yeah, or, I mean, I might be hitting the Z a little bit hard on it, but it's, it's certainly, it's, maybe it's Orza.
Or the Z.
What did I say?
You said a Z.
You know what? I never used to say Z. I used to say Z all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I know. I know we're traitors to Canada for saying Z.
Yeah,
but you've fallen back into old habits. Well, Zeds.
Wow. Well. There you go.
So are we going to go on, try and move on to the next one, or are you going to just sit here and drink?
Well, of course we should just sit here and drink.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're gentlemen of elegant leisure. Why wouldn't we?
This is what the whole thing's supposed to be about.
Yeah.
Dave, rack up the pool table.
Yeah, here we go. I'll get to open the shooting gallery. Jerry Thomas has a key. I'll just... knock on his door.
Fernando, make another pot of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Wow.
One time when Mike and I were in Las Vegas.
And who is Mike? A friend of ours.
A dear friend of ours who recently passed away, not to bring everybody down. That's why I'm telling the story. In honor of Mike, there was somebody at the counter at the fast food place, and his name was Adolfo, and he was in charge of the coffee. The woman said, "You're in charge of the coffee, Adolfo." And we looked at each other and said, "That's the quote."
That was in the Monte Carlo, wasn't it?
It was at the Excalibur.
Oh, that explains it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Excalibur. So on to the Jennifer. The Jennifer Daisy.
Yes. Mm. So there's a gin daisy, obviously.
Yes.
So we're going to be fancy and go with this Whitechapel one. And I haven't tried this ever, ever, ever.
So Jennifer is the actual name for gin in Holland. So Jennifer is the British changed it. They made it they couldn't handle all the syllables, so they just said instead of Jennifer, they just started calling it gin because they were drunk anyway.
It just sped up the process of getting it to them.
They could get, yeah. So Jennifer is Dutch for or is what gin was called originally in Holland.
Ooh.
Or as I like to call it, the Netherlands.
Yes, for the Dutch.
Well,
on account of the Dutch.
Yes, makes no sense. Please, folks, write in and explain the Netherlands for the Dutch and Holland.
Why they can't just amalgamate it all into one word.
Yeah, like the EU?
Yeah.
That's a great... Oh
Fred. Dear. Too soon?
Yes.
Too late?
As we record this, it's all about Brexit right now. And,
oh. Yeah. So we've got some Boomsma.
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
We've got some Boomsma. It calls for 1 3/4 of an ounce of Jennifer gin.
Or Boomma.
Ooh.
Is it just... No, it's an S there.
It's an S there. I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know how the Dutch would say it, so I'm...
And only a little bit of maraschino, but I think we're good. I think you'd miss it if it wasn't there. It calls for 1/4 ounce. I can do that. I have the tools required.
Mm-hmm.
And how much lemon do we get in this son of a gun?
This lemon in this particular son of a gun is 3/4 ounce.
Okay.
And so I know what you're thinking. You're afraid, aren't you?
I'm
you're afraid it's going to be too lemony and you're going to be all lost in the lemons.
Yeah. No, I don't want to be lost in the lemons.
No.
I know. Although, maybe you do. I don't know. That's the interesting thing about cocktails, isn't it? Because we've gone through this process, and do you want the lemon flavor? Do you want the booze flavor? Are you trying to mask the booze flavor? It should be balanced.
It should be balanced.
Uh-huh. And 1/4 ounce of orgeat, if you're new to the world of cocktails. And this, as I say, is from this wonderful-looking place, Whitechapel in San Francisco. If you're in San Francisco, do yourself a favor and go there.
Drink. Let us know how it is.
Even so if you're not in San Francisco, go to San Francisco and then go to Whitechapel. There's also a tiki bar. They should probably go there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then go to the Tonga Room. To Smuggler's Cove. Oh, yeah. God. I wanted to go to Smuggler's Cove so bad when Jennifer and I were there, but I didn't, apparently not bad enough because we didn't go.
Well, you can only drink so much.
And there's only so much time.
Yeah.
Because you got to get your everything else on.
Sure. No, you got to eat too.
Yes. Oh, nice. I know there's something great. I mean, San Francisco. I could go on for a million years about how great San Francisco is. Holy cow!
Only got about 30 minutes.
I know. We don't even have 30 minutes anymore.
Not now.
But there's something great on a warm San Francisco night. That's a song, isn't it?
I think it is.
Warm San Francisco. Day.
The B-side to Hot August Night.
you come out of a fantastic Italian restaurant in North Beach. Maybe you got a little bit of a buzz on from the wine you had at dinner or the cocktails you had. And then you leap onto a
donkey?
Cable car.
Oh. No,
or a donkey. Well, that was an awful trip. That was, that was the worst trip to San Francisco ever.
That's not how I use it.
Oh, that's...
You're going to get dizzy.
That's the happiest sound on earth.
It is, and it's really the only exercise I get.
Man, we got those huge, huge muscles, or those huge pipes.
That's what I sing with. Okay, let's pour out this Jennifer Daisy a la Whitechapel. It looks color-wise very similar to the Aviation pre-Violette.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... based on Dave and I in the back in one of our earlier episodes before you were able to join us, Freddie.
Hmm.
You're already into it.
What was your first impression? I think it's great.
My first impression was Jimmy Cagney. Go.
Yo, dirty rat.
Ooh. Holy cow, it's a million times different.
Yeah.
Which we knew it would be, but I didn't know it was gonna be that different.
Mm. Wow.
The Rochat adds a nice nuttiness to it, but not in a peanut butter kind of a way,
no.
Which is nice. No, it adds a little variety. It sort of helps cut the lemon, I think, a little bit.
I think it does cut the lemon, yeah.
Which, if you like lemon, you might not like that, but...
Well, so many of the sort of the classic cocktail recipes, too, called for that little bit of a sugar syrup, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had the...
Yep.
Yeah, the citrus, the sugar, the water... And the
My wife would like this with a little bit more sugar syrup. She likes, I mean, she likes tart, not as much as I like tart.
She has to put up with you.
Yes, put up with me. That's sour.
Yeah.
But yeah, a little, she probably prefer this with a little bit of sugar syrup to cut it a little bit. But
right.
I like it. The Orchat, I think, just enough.
An Imbibe magazine calls it the great grandmother to the margarita.
Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to figure out what the hell they mean by that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because the only connection we got was that margarita...
translates into English as daisy.
Right.
So, but other than that, you think there'd have to be a little more to it than call it the great-grandmother.
Although maybe it's the proportions and the ingredient in that you've got a citrus...
Right, citrus.
A syrup.
Mm-hmm.
Have we got a date on a daisy?
No.
Wow, we're like 6 episodes into this. Research has just dropped out of the bottom.
No,
we're so sorry, folks.
We've run out of money for research.
Yeah.
I don't think it's. Let me. It's a Jerry Thomas recipe.
So that goes back
to about 1860s, some odd.
That's right.
It is way back.
It's another part of our time travel trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. I did know. Roughly.
You did. It was having to swim upstream against the aviation.
Well, it's... Yeah. A lot of what I used to remember 10 minutes ago is gone now. I don't know why.
But it's neat because I was struck... No, I wasn't. And it'll never stand up in court. I was surprised to find out those differences that they have, and cocktail fans out there will know what I'm talking about if you've read these books. Where you had a cocktail, and then you had like an improved cocktail or a fancy cocktail, and it would be the same version of the drink, but it was like in a better glass, or one had the lemon rind thrown in it, or those kind of little differences to it, because there's an improved gin cocktail that I was. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that Dr. Cocktail mentions from time to time in his book. What is his real name? Ted Haig.
Yes. We don't know the pronunciation.
No.
Ghent.
Peggy.
Yeah.
But really, there's regional variations, and every bartender adds their own spin. So proportions, and they'll add different things. And certainly what he's done in his book is when he makes an old cocktail and he finds it doesn't quite meet his expectations, he'll just twist it around a little bit till he gets one that he likes.
Right.
Yeah.
But he didn't twist the aviation as far as we know.
No. I mean, by and large, he doesn't. Right. He's presenting them as is, but there's a couple in there where he says, you know, this isn't really working for me, and so I mixed it up a little bit.
Right. And actually, Jason Wilson does it in his book, too, because he was talking about a Negroni and how he was feeling like he wanted one because it was kind of old school. And at the end of that chapter, he describes how he had it, and he went, it didn't do what I wanted it to do. Ooh. And so then he mucks around with it. And so I guess that's the fun of it, is this endless mucking.
Yeah.
But the recipe that Jason has in Booze Hound here for the improved gin cocktail is the Jennifer gin, simple syrup, maraschino liqueur, Angostura bitters, a dash of absinthe, and lemon peel twist for garnish, but that there's no lemon juice in the improved gin cocktail that he was doing in here. And so again, that's an interesting spin on... That was the one that he had right after the aviation with the creme yvette.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. There you're bang on.
Did not turn it blue.
No. So the... Yeah, so the Jerry Thomas's recipe for this is 1876. It was referenced in some earlier work in 1866. Hmm. That recipe doesn't seem to be around. But
probably in that second book nobody can find.
Yeah.
Right. Disappeared from history.
Wouldn't that be cool to find that second book somewhere?
Well, I wanted to get some old cocktail books, so I went on the eBay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, I'll save money. I don't have to go on to Amazon and pay full price for a cocktail book. I'll get some nice old one for $4.
Yes.
You know, and I saw $1,500, $2,500, $4,000, $10,000 for old cocktail books. And I thought, well, maybe Amazon's pretty good.
Yeah,
think about it.
They're popular for a reason.
Yeah, I guess that's really where you want to go for your cocktail books. So wait for the reprints, people.
I think that was the worst thing about the internet, in a way, with your eBays and what have you, was all of this. It made it all available for the first little bit there. And what am I trying to say? Sorry, folks, I'm taking a picture
then
at the same time.
Everything was inexpensive. And then
and then you discovered it, right? Mm-hmm. And then somebody said, well, I have that old book. Do you want it? And you said, oh, I would love to have that old book. Well, you want it for $750? Say, no, you were going to throw it out last week.
Yeah. But think of all the stuff that got saved from being thrown out.
Yes, you're
because
right.
Because of eBay. So thank you, eBay, for saving all the crap that's in my garage from me throwing it away.
I saw in the store the other day, not here in Canada, where it's so hard to get, I was in Blaine, Washington.
I was wondering why you had an accent. You're Canadian, aren't you?
I'm Canadian, for the most part. Old Tom Gin. I have not yet tried Old Tom Gin. But I'm thinking that it's similar to the Dutch Boomsma.
That's an old style gin.
Yeah, I think it might be a little sweeter.
Oh.
But I don't know. I don't know. I've never tasted it. I've only read about it.
Somebody buy it, then email us and let us know.
Tell me if you thought it was sweet.
Or send us a free bottle.
If you have a bottle laying around,
yes.
Leave a comment and we'll get you an address to send us some old Tom Gin.
Yeah. Leave it in Peace Arch Park so that we can just walk down and pick it up behind the rose bushes on the east side of Highway 99 going north.
So far, there's no wall between Canada and the United States, but, you know, depending who becomes president, that could change. So
that's right.
If you could do it sooner rather than later, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, because any time somebody tries to throw a bottle over a wall...
it's going to be disaster.
Trouble.
Yeah, nothing but bad news.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, that's good. So is there one thing we were talking about earlier, and we haven't tried it, we may try it maybe in the future, is the differences that some of the gins can make, because especially with gins, vodkas, the flavors don't vary too much. I mean, they do vary if you're having them neat. But with the gins, the botanicals that you use can vary greatly from bottle to bottle.
Yeah, you're right. Today we used Gordon's London Dry Gin, which is probably pretty standard. I think Bombay Sapphire might have more of a botanical kick in it. The Hendrick's one has the rose water and sort of cucumber flavors. Mm-hmm. So you can muck around with it endlessly, which is why we all have to go to Whitechapel.
That's
and
right.
Try all of their gin.
Yeah.
Their gin palaces. God.
So you want like six Jennifer cocktails with six different gins. So you can see what the difference are, the variations.
That's right. And then a maraschino chaser. And then you call a hospital.
Yep. Get them ready your arrival.
They pull you off the donkey that you climbed onto after your Italian meal.
Yeah. Sorry about the donkey.
Wow. Yeah. Was there a winner of the two?
I like the Jennifer because it's a little more complex, a little bit more going on.
Yeah.
But if you just like a nice lemony cocktail, I think the Aviation, straightforward.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go
with the
Aviation.
I think with the Yvette.
Oh, I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Creme d'Yvette.
What's the contrarian again, Dave?
Well, I haven't given my
vote. Oh, that's true.
So you're saying the Aviation.
I'm going to go with the Aviation.
You're saying
the Jennifer.
The
Jennifer Daisy.
Yeah, no, I think I have to go with the Jennifer as well. So you're right, Dave. You are the
outcast, as always.
Dave, you must.
But in the reevaluation, though, the follow-up denouement of the whole thing is that you're exactly right. The Aviation is the better, easier drink. You don't have to get an oddball gin. I mean, a couple of years ago, I think this is in a weird switcheroo. I found Boomsma in Canada before I saw it in the States. They seem to have a hard time getting a hold of the Jennifer for a while there.
Canada and the Dutch have a special relationship.
Since World War II.
Since World War II.
We helped them out of a real jam back then.
We pitched in.
Set them free from domination.
You know, to this day, every year, the Dutch give Ottawa tulip bulbs.
Yeah.
They should give them some Boomsma.
I know. The funny thing is that Ottawa never writes back and says, you know, the bulbs come up year after year.
Yeah, we don't need any more.
The Dutch could have quit this.
Right after the war.
Right after 1948.
Just give you one good supply.
Yeah.
But we appreciate everything that
the
Dutch do.
Oh, yes. We love the Dutch. Thank you.
We love the Dutch. If you're not Dutch, you're not much.
No?
That's what I was told by a Dutchman.
Okay. I bet he had a few Jennifer Daisies under his belt when he
probably did. He had a wooden shoe in his heart, slung in his head.
If they have one flaw, they're pretty proud of themselves.
Now
it's Fred's beef.
If they did, which they don't.
No. Diss the Dutch with Fred Partridge.
Yeah. Send your hate mail to
Klondike 5.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
No, they are. The Dutch are a proud people.
Yeah, they are.
And rightly so, because they've been holding the water back.
That's a
hell of an engineering feat.
Here's what can live underwater. Fish.
Yeah.
And the Dutch.
Yeah.
Really? Both can live below sea level.
Really? Yeah. I never really thought about that.
Yeah. But the Dutch have no gills.
Mm.
They use gelders.
Oh. Is that what they use?
They used to.
Used to. It's stuck with the euro now.
That's right.
At least for the time being. We never know what's going to happen in Europe.
So what are we doing? What do we do in the next episode? Do we know?
We don't plan that far.
We only plan this minutes before we go. We hit the record button.
What's with the new guy?
I know. We're going to have to give him the Robert's Rules of Order here.
What we should do, Dave, is spin it around on Fred. Tell the folks at home what we're doing next time.
I think we'll do some whiskey cocktails.
Do some whiskey cocktails. Gin a break.
Because we've
been a little gin heavy.
Yeah, and then we're running out of gin. So
moving on.
Anything left there. So we got a couple of full bottles of whiskey lying around.
Yeah. What kind of whiskey are you thinking? Rye, Scotch, Canadian, bourbon.
Those are all good. there's a lot of different ones. So I mean, we could go as basic as the whiskey sour, but.
We'll let you know, folks.
It'll be whiskey.
Yeah.
That I can say for sure, unless you've got something in mind right off the bat.
Well, the only thing that popped into my head was that Negroni story that I told from Jason Wilson here. I think he mucked around a little bit there. Because it was, it's gin.
Yeah. I did the Millionaire's Cocktail, which is, again, a bunch of lemon.
Yeah.
And that was good, although it's, I think it might do with a little bit of adjusting, because I did find it was a little bit. It was a great cocktail, but very, very, very much lemon heavy. So it's like, oh, that's a great way to drink lemon juice. Mix it with a little bit of booze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's get your vitamin C.
Get your vitamin C, which is why so few drunks have colds.
Really. That's right.
Think about that.
But what do they have?
They have cirrhosis of the liver.
They have
usually.
Yeah, but cold free.
But cold free. Yeah.
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 No, that's right. Issues. The blood and sand is. As long as somebody's got some cherry hearing, we're able to pony up. But blood and sand has got.
I have cherry hearing.
I'm hard of hearing.
You won't be after me.
Do you have that?
So we'll
clear it out.
I'll just throw that out there.
You're throwing out a dark and stormy from Ted Hayes.
Blood and sand.
Oh,
dark
sorry.
And stormy's got rum and ginger beer. I'm not sure where you.
Blood and sand and dark and stormy.
It just sounds like a great evening.
That's prom night again.
Yep. And on that note,
thanks, Dave, for bringing it home.
Well, you know, we value our viewers, our listeners' time.
That's right, and our viewers' time.
Those of you watching us closer,
yes, which is on Sky TV
security cam.
Of course.
I was going to say, in the previous two episodes, mm-hmm. the wonderful Dave Coyne has provided a celebrity. Literary quote.
Well, they're getting a little more modern because the last quotes were from, you know, the 19th century. I think we had Oscar Wilde and Mark Twain. We're getting a little more modern. We've got Dean Martin. And I think you've probably heard this one, but it's still a great one to hear.
Okay.
If you haven't. He said, I feel sorry for people who don't drink when they wake up in the morning. That's as good as they're going to feel all day. Good old Dean.
Yes.
Who actually only drank milk, I think, didn't he?
Most
of the time.
Yeah. I think we could discuss that for hours on end. I think he started out like that, and I think near the end he got a little, or there was times he got a little boozy.
Ah, okay.
But you're right, mostly milk.
Milk.
Yes, an early to bed.
Early to rise.
Yeah. He's the most boring of the Rat Pack.
He had that great story, right, where there was the party at his house, and he went upstairs and he called the police. The police came, had a complaint about the noise, and Frank Sinatra answered the door. Said, what do you mean there's a complaint about the noise? Well, sorry, we got a call. Who was it from? Well, it was from Dean Martin. He went upstairs, and Dean's lying in bed with a golf club watching TV.
can't hear the show.
Listen, Pally,
I'm watching Dragnet.
I'm watching Mannix.
Oh, Dean.
Oh, dear. Yes, we lost a good one with Dean Martin.
Yeah. And I think we mentioned it earlier, but of course, again, come visit us on Instagram. Videos and pictures of what we've been making here on the show.
Mm-hmm. And go to our website, The Gentleman of Elegant
Leisure.
Oh, sorry, it's not the. It's just Gentleman of
Elegant
Leisure.com.
And
for the blog, for the list of the recipes.
Yes, exactly. And for pictures, go to Cocktail Podcast on Instagram. There we go.
There we go.
Well, thank you, gents, for reconvening our assembly of cocktails.
Exactly. And you at home, I hope that you are being gentlemen and gentle ladies of elegant leisure and just enjoying the good life.
And now, to the balloon!
you got to come up with a drink for the balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be a gentleman of elegant leisure and tip
big!